As the summer travel season takes off, hotels and resorts will start to fill up, cruises will get booked, some may decide to go visit their friends or family, but there are other travelers out there who will choose instead to sleep in the homes of strangers as they practice the art of couch surfing. On the Hospitality Exchange Network, couchsurfing.org, 4 million members can find a place to stay free of charge almost anywhere. Yes, California, Mexico, Australia, but also North Korea, Pakistan, Antarctica. New Yorker staff writer Patricia Marks recently joined couchsurfing.org, and one of her hosts described the experience as a blind date where the person brings the toothbrush. We want to hear from people on both sides of the couch, so surfers, hosts, what surprised you about your experience? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website, that's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Patricia Marks joins us now from our bureau in New York. Her piece, You're Welcome, Couchsurfing the Globe, appeared last month in the New Yorker, and nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And what was the first couch you ended up on?
The first couch I ended up on was in Iowa City, and it was, I had my own room, actually, my own room that I shared with beer-making equipment that belonged to a physics student at the University of Iowa, and she was great.
Was she using the beer-making equipment at that particular time?
Well, not while I was sleeping there, but yes, it was a hobby of hers.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And the experience of visiting perfect strangers, well, some people might find that a little intimidating.
How about me? I did. I'm somebody who doesn't even like to share a place with myself. So the thought of staying with perfect strangers and having to be nice was awful. But I kind of liked it. I picked very good people, as you can do on the site.
How do you do that?
They have a big website, and in order to register, you are asked a lot of questions. You don't have to answer them all, but if you do, then I know more about you. And it's like applying for college. You have so many essay questions. You have to give your mission and your favorite movies and where you've traveled. So if you're smart about checking people out, you can figure out who you like.
And that's not just for would-be surfers, but for hosts, too. So you're going to know what they're like.
You're going to know what everybody who met them thinks about them, too, because you get rated. It's like eBay.
Little reviews of every place. So does that relieve the feeling of, this might not be safe?
Very much so. I mean, there was a time when instead of couch surfing, you would stay with a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, and somewhere along that link, maybe somebody wasn't even a friend, but a neighbor or somebody they were on the bus with. And this is a much safer way to go about it, I think. You're much more vetted.
And as you went through this experience, did you find that most of these people were younger and offering fold-out couches, or were they a variety of people?
Well, everybody's younger than I am by this time.
The
average age is 28. No, that's not quite true. The average age is 28, and I'm not 28. And I decided that I would just lie about it because I thought if they saw how old I really was, they'd think, oh, I don't know. We don't have a defibrillator, so we don't want her to sleep with us. But in fact, when I went to this first person, this physics student in Iowa City, and I confessed, the first thing I said was, I'm not really that age. I'm 9 years older. Because I didn't want to go 10 years older, so I thought nine years older was sort of plausible.
On the whitish side of lies, yeah.
And she just laughed, and she said, you know what, to anybody in her 20s, 40 or 50, it's the same thing.
Just beyond oblivion, yeah.
I forget the question. I don't think I answered it.
That's okay. Were people older or younger in terms of being hosts?
Oh, there were even older than I was. I picked a couple people that were older than I was. And the average age, as I said, is 28, but they're 80 years old people on the site.
We're talking with Patricia Marks, a writer for The New Yorker, who's gone on to write a piece about her experiences as surf couching, I think, is probably something different. In the meantime, if you have that experience either as a host or as a surfer yourself, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email us, talk@npr.org. We'll start with Wendy, and Wendy's calling from Corvallis in Oregon.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Wendy.
Hi.
What was your experience like?
It was great. I've stayed with people in Italy Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, the United States. I've had people stay with me who were from different places. And there's also a website. I was telling the guy there's a website called warmshowers.com that's primarily for bicyclists. That's the same thing.
So there are, if what particular niche you're in, you can find a connection ability. But what's the best thing about it, Wendy, other than a free place to stay in Italy?
Well, you get to meet the people I stayed with in Italy. One was from Latvia and one was from New Zealand. You meet people from all over the world. They give you wonderful information. I went over to Croatia and somebody, I couldn't stay with him, but he gave me a huge amounts of information. So it's a really great way to, you can say that someone can stay at your house, or you can say that you're willing to meet somebody for coffee, or you can say you're willing to take them around town. So you can join at different levels. And so as somebody going to that place, you can use that person as a resource.
And so not make the commitment of a spare room.
Right, exactly.
But Patricia Marks, you said in your piece, you cited people who said, look, we only get 2 weeks of vacation a year. We can bring the world to us.
Yes, it was ordering in fun, someone said.
And the price, of course, is free, except the price of incessant sociability.
Yeah, that's a big price. It wasn't so bad. I theoretically didn't like it. In practice, I liked it. Wendy had said that there's warmshowers.com, which I ran into someone who used that. There's also, what's it called? Something like dog vacay, where your dog can essentially couch surf if you're going away and you want your dog to stay with someone in the city.
Wendy, thanks very much. Where are you going to go couch surf next?
I'm thinking about Burma.
Burma. All right. Thanks very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Connor. Connor with us in Berkeley.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I did some couch surfing a few years back in Morocco, and I just thought it was a really great way to get to see, you know, parts of the country and parts of local life that you won't be able to see staying in a hotel or anything like that. We actually got to stay in a traditional dwelling outside of town of Meknes, and they actually have these caves. They're homes that are built back into a cave, and we got to stay there for 3 days with a family, and it was just a really enlightening experience to see how these people live.
I just read about a person in Petra, Jordan, who allows surfers to stay with him, and he said 1,200 visitors into his cave.
Petra, the amazing archaeological site in Jordan. As you were couch surfing there in Morocco, I presume those people were interested in talking to you to find out more about Berkeley, California.
Yes, indeed. The guy that I stayed with, I think, actually he brings in people a lot. I think it's sort of something he enjoys doing. And the one thing that I didn't find it to be a problem, but in less developed areas of couch surfing, and I've had friends say this as well, it is still free, but, you know, there were times when I felt when we'd go out and, you know, I would pay for lunch or I would, you know, get some food for the family to bring home and that sort of thing. So it is a slightly different relationship maybe in a more developing region of the world than it would be couch surfing here in the Bay Area, which I've done as well, which is, you know, a little bit more on an equal financial footing.
Is it ever awkward if suddenly you wake up and breakfast is on the table? That am I supposed to partake? Should I pay for this?
It can be. I think especially in a country where the traditions are different, where I don't necessarily speak the language to speak to all the family, that can be a little bit awkward, but also kind of fun. You know, so it just provides a different experience that I think is a really great thing to get to see.
Patricia Marks, did you bring house gifts over to your host?
I brought house gifts. You know, if any exchange of money and you're kicked off the site, but I gave them a book and a box of chocolate cookies and I think it's $100 trillion bill from somewhere that
Monopoly,
wasn't worth
perhaps,
$100 trillion.
It was not worth $100 trillion.
No,
Connor, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's see if we go next to, this is Chris, and Chris is on the line from Oakland. Chris, you there?
Oh, I'm here, yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My experience with couch surfing is I went to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and stayed with a guy and ended up becoming really good friends. Total stranger when we met on the site, but we became friends with he and his group of Chinese Malay people, and we ended up actually going to Penang to participate in a marathon with him later on. But yeah, couch surfing experience for me was great. It was not very awkward. I could see it being awkward, but in our case, we're still buddies. We're friends on Facebook, and we just talked today, actually.
And you had set this up presumably before you went to Indonesia, Malaysia, rather?
Actually, while we were in Malaysia, we were traveling just as a lot of people do, backpacking, and we emailed him maybe a couple of days before we got to the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, and he responded with an address, said, come on by. And what's really funny is the first night we stay, 15 minutes after we get there, he says, hey, you guys want to go to a Chinese wedding? And we were invited to a big engagement party, and it was just some experience that we would have never got without experiencing couch surfing.
That's an astonishing. Those are the kinds of experiences you can't get just dropping by.
Right. It was amazing. It was great. And being friends with him and everything still is worth it.
I'm wondering, Patricia Marks, seeing the town differently than you would if you stayed at the Hilton or the Motel 6, for that matter.
Well, I wouldn't even have gone to Iowa City. And I saw everything about Iowa City. San Francisco, similarly, I've been there once or twice, but I stayed with a fantastic guy who walked me around the city and told me about things I never would have known and have since forgotten, but they were interesting at the time. I stayed at a commune in Palo Alto, and that was wild. There were about 20 people, and everybody's bedroom was everybody's bedroom, and someone was outside on a bike blender making a smoothie, which is making a smoothie device was powered by the bike.
But
I didn't go to any Chinese weddings.
No Chinese weddings. That's a pity. There's still time, even as old as you are. We're talking with Patricia Marks of The New Yorker about couch surfing. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Barney. Barney with us in Boulder. Or is it
Hi
Marnie?
There.
Marnie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was calling just to say that my son, who's 18, was a couch surfer this past fall as he traveled through Eastern Europe. And as a parent, I was a little tentative about his taking this route, but the richness of the stories and the experiences that he brought home were just incredible. And the people that held him as I would like for my child to be held by strangers was great.
So your initial doubts utterly resolved?
Well, he was 18. Eastern Europe, he was traveling everywhere from Stockholm. He started in Stockholm, Croatia, Slovenia, ended in Turkey, was in Romania, did Habitat for Humanity in Romania. And it was a huge trip. So as he put it together, yes, I was a little concerned, but an amazing, amazing experience for him.
Marnie, we got this email from Wade, who writes, another very important part of the safety of this is you can leave and read comments from either perspective, making decisions based on what you learn in those comments. So as Patricia Marks reminded us earlier, there is an aspect of safety in this.
Absolutely. And the only thing that I would have wished more for is the internet communication piece is more hit or miss when you're doing couch surfing, whereas when he interspersed it with youth hostels, we had more regular contact with him. So that made it a little bit more, just a little scarier for me. But in the end, such a great experience, and I look forward to opening our home to someone in the future.
Patricia, you were about to say?
I already forgot it. But it is remarkable how many, I've really heard almost no bad experiences. The other day I heard about somebody who met somebody and married him. They'd met at a meetup because one caller said in addition to opportunities to stay with people, you can have lunch with them, you can go to parties. And this person went to a meetup and met somebody and ended up marrying him.
Marnie, thanks very much for the call. Is your son going to go back on the couch surfing route again?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much. This is from Sarah. I'm a 31-year-old female, and I've been on couch surfing 4 years and hosted a total of 9 surfers in Oklahoma and Connecticut. Never had a bad experience. It's usually an incredible one, filled with great conversation. I keep in touch with several male and female. Early on, it was more international travelers, but now that the word is out, you see many Americans traveling for business, college interviews, moving for a job. I'm about to move back home to Oklahoma and hope to have my first experience surfing rather than hosting. So this is an exchange. People do it both ways.
They do. And you're not obligated. You can be exclusively a surfer or exclusively a host, and some people prefer to be one or the other, or they don't have the facilities to open up their home. I stayed with someone in San Francisco who had, gosh, I would say 2 surfers per week at least, and traveled extensively and never stayed with people. Only people he'd met that had stayed with him, but he would never stay with a stranger, as he said.
We only have a few seconds left, but were there any red flags in the profiles of the hosts that said, you said, not going there?
Well, there were a lot of people that I rejected that would probably be great for other people, but not for me. There was a lovetarian. I thought, no. Anybody who said the word party too much, I stayed away from because, you know, Burning Man, I stayed away from. In It for the Journey, the Lovin' and the Laughter, I stayed away from.
I can understand that. Patricia Marks, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Patricia Marks with us from our bureau in New York. You can find a link to her piece on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, why so many people are unhappy with hospitals. It's NPR News.